Jews and non-Jews in the kingdom of God. This discussion will not be so much about what that looks like in a messianic context because, I only have so much time this morning. Let me ask you, what is the passage that comes to your mind when Paul says that we are joint heirs? With whom? We are joint heirs with Messiah, with Yeshua. What you are thinking of is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. We're jumping into the middle of a discussion there where it talks about that Gentiles have been adopted. By the way, that adoption language used in Paul's writing is always and only used in contexts that involve relationship between Jews and Gentiles. So the adoption language must be understood in that framework. And it talks about how Gentiles have been adopted, how they have become the children of God. And because, in Paul's wonderful logic, because you're children of God, you are also heirs. And if you are an heir, that means you are a co-heir, a joint heir, an heir together with Yeshua. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. It is a very familiar passage. However, did you know that there is one other passage where Rabbi Paul uses that same word that means a joint heir, an heir together with someone? We're very familiar, at least in my history, I'm very familiar with that Romans 8:17 passage. We are joint heirs with Messiah. We participate in the same inheritance that Messiah has received from the Most High. So, for instance, in Ephesians, we're told that Messiah has been exalted and seated at the right hand of the Most High in heaven. And then likewise, Paul goes on to say, you and I have also therefore been seated with Messiah in heavenly places. What Messiah receives, we receive because we are heirs together with him. We don't receive anything that he has not received. Everything he receives, we received. So it's a very close-knit relationship. However, there is one other place in Paul's writings where he uses that word, heir of together with, or joint heir, or co-heir, depending on how it's translated. And it appears in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and we break into a discussion about what Paul calls the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel, to just lay it out without teaching what it is, setting it up for you. The mystery of the gospel is that non-Jews, Gentiles, can come into the kingdom of God, which is something purely related to Israel and the Jewish people. Again, I don't have time to teach that. The kingdom of God is something related to Israel and the Jewish people. The mystery that Paul talks about in Romans, in Ephesians, in other places, Colossians, it is that Gentiles can come into the kingdom of God without becoming Jews. Gentiles, as Gentiles, can come into the kingdom of God. The last time that Dr. Friedman was with us, he shared from Acts 15 about the decision that was made in Jerusalem among the leaders of Messianic Judaism, that Gentiles would be allowed to come into the kingdom of God without the Torah requirements that are required for Jewish people. So let me say that another way. Paul and Shimon Kefa, Peter, and the other leaders of the Messianic Jewish movement taught that Jews remained accountable to Torah observance, even in God's kingdom. Gentiles did not. Matt laid this out very beautifully for us a couple months ago. You can check it out on our website and download the MP3. So this is the mystery. This is the mystery of the gospel. There was always an understanding in the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, that the message was to go to the Gentiles. That was always known from the very beginning. You will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. You are a kingdom of priests. You are a light for the nations, according to Isaiah. Psalm 67, the Lord bless us and keep us so that your name will be known in the earth, in all the nations. The shortest psalm in the Bible says, and we sing it often, it says, "Listen up, all you Gentiles. You are to give praise to the God of Israel because God is faithful to Israel." It's amazing. The nations, the Gentiles, are called to praise God because God is faithful, not to Gentiles, but God is faithful to Israel. So this was always known. The mystery is that Gentiles would be allowed to come in without becoming Jews. We see in the Tanakh that Gentiles often chose to walk alongside Israel. And we see that even as they came out of Egypt. There were Egyptians that came out with Israel. And they partook of the same identity and the same code that Israel did. It's often said in the commandments, this command is for you and the aliens and the strangers that sojourn with you, that travel with you. The mystery of the gospel is when you come to the new covenant, that now the nations could enter into the covenant as the nations, not becoming Israel, so that in the book of Revelation, we read several times that people of every tribe, every tongue, every nation comes to worship God in the end of days, in the age to come. Not all the different varieties of Israel, but all the nations, every tribe, every language, every tongue comes to give honor to the Most High. This is the mystery of the gospel that Rabbi Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 6. This mystery is that the Gentiles are joint heirs and fellow members of the same body and co-sharers of the promise in Messiah Yeshua through the good news. This is the one other place in Paul's writings that he uses this word joint heirs or co-heirs. This time not talking about believers, Gentiles being co-heirs with Messiah, but now we are co-heirs with Israel. It doesn't use the word Israel in the text of the verse, but if you're reading in context, actually going back into chapter 2 of Ephesians, you will see that he's talking about relationship between Jews and non-Jews. The verse again says, this mystery is that Gentiles are joint heirs. There's that word. Joint heirs, the implication is with whom? With Israel, with the Jewish people. But they're not only joint heirs, but they are also sharers of the same body, a Greek word that means the same body. Often Paul has told his congregations, you are one body. You may be diverse in gifts, you may be diverse in personalities, but you are one body. And here he tells the Gentiles that you are one body with Israel. You are one body with Jewish believers. So you are joint heirs with Jewish believers, and you are one body with Jewish believers. And then there's one more word in this verse that is in Greek, begins with the idea of being linked with something. And that, in that case, the Gentiles are co-sharers. You are co-sharers. You are co-participants. Co-participants. So, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. You've all known you are co-heirs with Messiah. You've been adopted. But I want to augment that to help us understand that Christians are co-heirs with Jewish believers. And not only co-heirs, but you are co-bodied. You are not only joint heirs, you are joint-bodied with Jewish believers. And then thirdly, you are joint sharers, joint participants with Israel. In three ways. At the end of the verse, it says, of the promise. Secondly, in Messiah Yeshua. And thirdly, of the good news. Of the promise, Messiah, and the good news. The other way to say the good news is the gospel. And I'd love to unpack all three of those. Last week, we talked about God's promise. And we saw that the promises that God has given the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they actually did not receive. Peter and Paul both, as well as the writer to the preacher in Hebrews, tells us that we are the recipients of those promises. And in the same way, I've challenged us to recognize there are times in our lives when God promises us something that we may or may not see the fulfillment of what God has promised. But yet we walk in trust because as it were told, the one who promised is faithful. So the Gentiles come in and participate in the same promises that God has given to Israel. I like to say that everything that the Christians, Gentile believers, have received from God, it is because God first gave that to Israel. If our friends at Church of the Savior know God as Savior, it is because He is first Savior of Israel. We said it in our liturgy. He is Gaal Yisrael, Redeemer, the one who has redeemed Israel. If your Christian neighbors know God as Healer, it is because He first is Israel's healer. Every way Christians know God is because He is first that to Israel. The converse, I like to say, is also true. Any way that believers, Gentile believers, do not know God, it is because He is not that to Israel. You are partakers of the same promises. Just as we share the same inheritance from Yeshua, as a believer, so Jews and Gentiles receive the same promises. And that is the reason in this congregation we enfranchise Gentiles. Gentiles serve at every level in ministry and service and life in this congregation. We had both Jews and Gentiles that did Torah blessings today. Both Jews and Gentiles led in prayer today and liturgy. Both Jews and Gentiles read Torah in our congregation. Both Jews and Gentiles serve on the board of our congregation. We enfranchise all. The second category that Gentiles, according to this verse, you are joint heirs, joint bodied, and joint sharers of not only the promise, but secondly, the Messiah. I have shared in the past about Yeshua as the Jewish Messiah. If you do not understand Yeshua as the Jewish Messiah, what other Messiah is there? Is there a different one? Is there an additional one that's not the Messiah of Israel? The Messiah who has come to, as we're told in Luke chapter 2, that has come to bring the restoration of Jerusalem, the restoration of Israel. We share in the same Messiah. Let me push this even a little bit further. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 28, we're told that God loves Israel because of the promises to the patriarchs. Because of the promises, God continues to have a calling and a love for his Jewish people. By the way, that even includes those that don't know Messiah in the context of that passage. But have you ever noticed that in Romans chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, "To all you Gentile believers in Rome who are loved by God and called." Not only is it the Jews that are loved by God and called, but it is the Gentiles that are loved by God and called. Elsewhere, in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it tells us that Gentile believers are children of God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Verse 16, if you look just a few verses later at chapter 9, verse 8, you will see Israel referred to in the exact same way. You are God's children. In chapter 8, verse 29, Paul calls the Roman Christians brothers, just as he calls his Jewish kinsmen brothers in chapter 9, verse 3. By the way, I have about a dozen of these categories that I've searched through over the years. I spent time this week going through and looking for more, contrasting how Paul relates to his Jewish kinsmen in chapter 9, 10, and 11 with Romans, with how he relates to Gentile believers in the rest of the book of Romans. You will find that there is a one-to-one correspondence. There is no special gravitas that Jewish unbelievers hold for Rabbi Paul that Gentile believers are not heirs, participants also of the same thing. The and finally, I don't have time to explore the meaning of the gospel, that last phrase in Ephesians 3, verse 6, that Gentiles come in and participate in the gospel, which is also rooted in God's promise to the Jewish people. We've shared about that the Besorá, the good news, the gospel, should not merely be thought of as the death and resurrection of Yeshua, but that is the unfolding, the fulfillment of the good news. The good news goes back to the Tanakh. If the gospel is the message of Yeshua's death and resurrection, what does it mean, for instance, right after Yeshua's immersion, that we're told that he went out in the power of the Spirit teaching the gospel? He hadn't died. He hadn't been resurrected yet. In fact, he wasn't even teaching his disciples about that yet. So then what is the gospel he was teaching? In that way, we go back, for instance, to Isaiah 40. Comfort my people. Say to the cities of Judah, behold, your God is here. Steve McConnell song that I was been singing this week. The good news. Get up on a high mountain. Proclaim the good news. We sing the song Manavu. How lovely are the feet of them who bring the good news. You sing it often. I love that song. Who bring the good news to Judah. So these are some of the themes that I'm playing with. I'm thinking about one of several that I'm unpacking for my conference presentation, which is 3 weeks from today. If you're anywhere near Grantham, Pennsylvania, Harrisburg area, please come attend my class. It's that Shabbat morning, unfortunately. But I have to wait all week long at conference before I get to do my presentation. So no time to just enjoy the conference. I have to stress all the way through. I'll survive. They always seem to put me toward the end of the week. Excuse me? Last year I was opposite Sid Roth, as I was the year before that. So I think it's more like they don't want anybody to come. I'm getting afield. What does all this mean? I've pointed out the way that Paul uses designations for both Jews and believing Gentiles in Romans. I've unpacked the idea of what is the mystery of the gospel, the fact that we share together in the kingdom of God. I will go on in my presentation to talk about the distinctions, the ongoing living distinctions that exist between Jews and Gentiles, because Rabbi Paul will go on to distinguish, in even for believers, that there's differences between Jews and Gentiles. And that is where I will proceed in my presentation at Messiah Conference. in our congregation, Gentiles come in and they participate because they're called to walk alongside. The Baptists do not have to keep kosher. The Presbyterians must not observe Sabbath. Oh, they will someday. I believe that this is clear, that the time will come at the end of the age when all nations will go up to Jerusalem to learn God's instruction from Yeshua. In fact, we quoted that verse when we opened the ark from Isaiah chapter 2. In the meantime, the Gentiles that are in our congregation participate because they have that calling. It's a calling to walk alongside Jewish believers, to fulfill the mission, the calling, the identity, and to participate in the destiny of God's Jewish people. It is not something that we say is incumbent on Gentiles, but we invite Gentiles who have a similar calling and are willing to walk in that calling. We invite them to walk alongside us and participate. So that together, again, we are joint heirs. We have the same inheritance. If you're Gentile, you are not a second-class citizen. You have the same inheritance as Jewish believers. That is because you are joint-bodied. A literal meaning of Paul's word there in Ephesians 3. You have the same body. You are part of the same body. Different functions, different gifts, but the same body. And then thirdly, you are joint sharers, joint participants in the task, in the promise of the gospel. So that God can receive glory from everyone. His great heart, the great mystery is that he wants all to come and to give him blessing, glory, honor, and praise.